In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. We are almost through Lent. Now, as the days are getting longer, we know about spring coming, but even though spring is coming, Lent still feels like a very dark season. We've had 5 weeks of it now. When we think about darkness, whether it is a metaphorical darkness or a literal darkness, in dark times, it can be very easy to despair. It's easy to despair at all kinds of things. When you turn on the news and you see the state of humanity, or to despair at our own failings. It is easy to despair at the sins of others or our lack of control on the world. Now, even though Lent feels like a very dark time, Lent in many ways is also a season of hope. Because when we look around at all the failings, at all the darkness in the world and all of our own failings and our own darkness, we see one thing, and that is our need for God. And when we see our need for God, then we can also see that God is actually in control. Now, I think it's helpful when we look at times of despair and darkness to look at the long arc of history. Because when we look at a point in history and we see evil happening, we can also look and see evil being conquered. And we can look at restoration and renewal. And if we look at every point in human history and everything in human existence, we realize that in the end, good prevails. Because with God, the story is never over. We heard today out of the book of Ezekiel, probably the most well-known passage out of that book, the Valley of the Dry Bones, which is probably mostly known to you through the song, the head bones connected to the neck bone, etc., etc. But God leads Ezekiel out into this valley, and God speaks to Ezekiel saying, "Mortal?" Now, you know, that has to be the most humbling feeling ever. To have God call him this. I mean, we may be aware of our own mortality. We may be aware of God's eternity. But to be spoken to by the Almighty as mortal. Ezekiel is the only book in the Bible where God addresses a human being in such a way. And we don't know why God does this here, but we can only imagine how small Ezekiel must have felt in that moment. And God asks, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Now, Ezekiel is looking out at a valley full of dried up bones that are scattered about. And in a normal circumstance, can these bones live? The answer is clearly no. They're dried up. Bones are not even a dead body. They are what is left when the body is gone. But Ezekiel, still feeling very small, probably not knowing what to say, answers, "O Lord God, you know." And so then God makes a request. "Prophesy to these bones. Now, Ezekiel may have been a good prophet. In fact, he is considered one of the major prophets of the Old Testament. But prophesy to the bones should seem an impossible task. Seems like a futile effort. What are the bones going to do? How are they going to listen? But Ezekiel does as commanded. And Ezekiel does prophesy to the bones. And there is a great noise as the bones come together one by one. And then connecting tissue grows on the bones. And then muscle and skin. And they stand up. And there is before Ezekiel a great multitude of people. And God says, prophesy to their breath. And they are alive. And then God changes tone. No longer speaking down to Ezekiel. God says, mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. It was indeed a hopeless time. Ezekiel, from age 22 on, his land was invaded and he was carried off to Babylon, the largest known empire at that time in history. Having watched his homeland destroyed and now living elsewhere, there was no hope. His people were scattered. They saw no future. But God, in this vision, tells him something different. That with God, the story is never over. If we hear the name Lazarus, we may not know much about Lazarus, but when we hear that name, we immediately can associate it with someone who comes back from the dead. Now, we heard the story of the raising of Lazarus in the gospel today, and the story of raising of Lazarus is a very interesting story, not only because it is the fourth week of an extremely long gospel reading. Oh, just wait till next week. But there are a number of interesting points about this. First of all, they come to Jesus. Everyone in the story is hopeless. Your friend Lazarus is ill. But Jesus remains confident. In fact, he's so confident he waits 2 days before going. And he says, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. And then even when word reached Jesus that Lazarus had died, Jesus says, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. And then as he's on the road, he encounters the sister of Lazarus, Martha. And he tells her, your brother will rise again. Now, almost nobody else in that entire story is quite as confident as Jesus. There are a lot of naysayers in this story. The disciples are naysayers. The sister of Mary and Lazarus, or Martha and Lazarus, Mary, she is a naysayer. The bystanders around who are witnessing this, they are the naysayers. But here's what's interesting. Martha. Do you remember Martha in another story? The story of Mary and Martha, where Mary lays at the feet of Jesus as he's teaching. And Martha says, can you believe my sister? not helping me with the housework? And Jesus scolded her in that story. And he says, Martha, 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 you are worried and distracted by so many things, but it is your sister who has chosen the better path. It is that same Martha who comes to Jesus here. And it is that same Martha who shows a deep, abiding, and unparalleled faith. Martha says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. There's another interesting point about this story, and that is Jesus' reaction upon arriving to the scene. Lazarus is dead, he's been in the tomb, and he sees the grief of others. And we come to John chapter 11, verse 35, which tells us Jesus began to weep. Or in the King James, probably one of the most famous verses in that version, the shortest verse in the King James Version, which is what? Jesus wept. You know, it may be an assumption, in fact, one that I've heard expressed, that if we are people of faith, why would we ever grieve? I mean, after all, think of Lazarus. Lazarus's suffering is over. He's gone to heaven, a better place. He is in eternal joy. Why would we grieve? We deal with this when we experience loss of our own. But here we have Jesus, who is the very embodiment of faith. Jesus, who called himself resurrection and life, could grieve at death. I think it tells us that grief is a part of faith, just as much as belief and everything else. And it's okay to experience it. Then the moment happens. Jesus goes to the tomb, and we know, it tells us that we know Lazarus is truly dead because the smell is coming from the tomb. But Jesus says, roll back that stone. And he shouts in, Lazarus, come out. And to everyone's surprise, Lazarus, wrapped in his burial clothes, comes out. You know, it's an important thing to point out that in 2 weeks we are going to be celebrating Easter, the Feast of the Resurrection, and this moment is not a story of the resurrection. That was a different event. The resurrection of Jesus is a once and for all event. It is the conquering of death and all evil by God. It is Christ making all things new. This is a story of healing. It may reflect or foretell the resurrection, but it's not the same. This is a revival, a restoring of what was. But it is another reminder that this gospel tells us that with God, the story is never over. Now, you may have times of despair and difficulty. Life is full of it. But we must remember in those times, if Scripture tells us nothing else, to remember that God is never done with you, and to remember that nothing is impossible with God. That even in our worst and darkest of times, God is just getting started. Amen.